And welcome to Health Matters here at 100.9 FM Noongar Radio. We'll be looking at the topic of child development, and we have a fantastic Aboriginal health team in the studio today, and they'll be talking about how they work with families to firstly provide healthcare for Aboriginal families at home or a clinic, help raise happy and healthy Aboriginal children, and promote strong and healthy Aboriginal families. So I'd like to welcome to the studio today, firstly, Terry Cross, who's a community clinical nurse manager. Kaiawanju, Terry.
Kaiawanju, thank you.
Great to have you in here. And also Sian Sorrell, who's a senior Aboriginal health worker. Kaya.
Kaiawanju, big girl.
First time on radio?
Yes.
Oh, you're going to love it by the end, I tell you that much. It's going to be awesome. And you both work in the area of child development. Can I ask how long you've been working in the area, Terry?
Yeah, I've been working in community health since about 1997. My background, professional background, is in nursing. I started that in my late 20s. Then I went on and did my midwifery. And after about 6 years of that, I went on and did my child health training and worked as a child health nurse. And I'm presently the community clinical nurse manager for the child and adolescent community health Aboriginal health team.
And glad I didn't have to say that.
It's hard work that we're having. And I've been the first Aboriginal person appointed to the position of community clinical nurse manager with the Aboriginal health team.
Congratulations, Terry.
Thank you.
Yeah, how are you finding that?
Challenging?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is. It's good. Well, and I've got a good team of nurses working with me.
Ah, that always is awesome, hey, to have some great teamwork. Yeah. What about you, Sian?
I've worked with the Aboriginal health team for about 6 years. I did my Certificate 3 and 4 in Aboriginal health back in 2000-2001. And then I didn't work for a while. And I was an Aboriginal health worker for about 2.5 years, and then did the senior position now for about 3 years.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, very qualified.
Yeah,
definitely.
Learning as I go along.
Yeah, cool. So what will we be talking about today, ladies, in terms of child development? What will we be touching on so our listeners can stick with us for the next hour?
We'll be looking at, I guess, overall development in young children, talking a bit about the service we provide and how we provide it. Probably focusing on ear health, dental health, safety, a few other things around that.
We might go to a song, and we're going to come back, and we're going to start with ear health, I believe.
Yep.
Sounds good?
Yes, sounds good.
We're going to go to Phil Wallisack with Widandi, and you're listening to Health Matters on Noongar Radio. And in the studio today I have Terry and Sian, and letting you mob all know about child development. We're going to start with ear health. That's just one of the topics we're going to touch on today, ladies. And don't forget that Health Matters also replays after Inside Out, 9 p.m. on Sunday. Stack there on 100.9 FM and digital Noongar Radio Wadandi, thinking of right down Busselton and Margaret River, and I believe we have some connection.
Yep,
both
of us.
Yeah. What, you don't want to claim me or what? So, our families extend from the Busselton area, so that's cool, and we first met today and first time on radio. But more importantly, we're talking about child development, and this is House Matters, and you can catch a program every fortnightly on alternate weeks of Law Matters, and this program also repeats on Sunday night at 9 o'clock after Inside Out. So, Terry, we're going to talk about e-health, and you just wanted to do a recap on some of the things that you deliver within the child development area.
That's right, yep. I guess we are looking at e-health because that is important to our Aboriginal children, and hearing loss is fairly prevalent, and it can have a long-term impact on the child's speech, language development, the educational and vocational outcomes. And as part of the assessment of child's ears, we do it's called EACHES schedule, which is Enhanced Aboriginal Child Health Checks, which is a bit of a mouthful. But within that, our nurses and our health workers provide child health checks on all the children, which consist of about 14 checks that are done in the first 5 years of life, and we assess all areas of growth development in newborn babies, young infants, toddlers, and we look at their gross motor skills, fine motor skills, speech development, their vision development, their hearing, and we talk to the parents about nutrition and maternal health and safe sleeping, and we do assessments on safe sleeping. We talk to them about safety issues and just anything to assist them with their parenting, and answer questions. That's what we're there for.
Who wants to talk about our little eaters? Is that you, Charlotte?
Yeah, that's cool. So when we go out and do our checks, from birth to 4 months, there's a few things that we just look out for. And a couple of examples are for if children startle at loud noises, calm at the sound of a familiar voice, respond to your voice, like smiles and coos. Then from 4 to 9 months, we try to look for little things like smile when spoken to, cry differently to different needs, and making babbling sounds. There's a few others, but there's quite a list, but I'll just give a couple of examples. For 9 to 15 months, they respond to the changes in your tone or voice, or start to say mama and dada, and understand simple requests. Then from 15 to 24 months, listen to stories, songs and rhymes, point to familiar objects when they are named, and point to body parts when asked. So basically, it's important for a child's hearing and speech because they're essential tools of learning, playing and developing social skills. Children learn to communicate by imitating the sounds they hear. If they have hearing loss that is undetected and untreated, they can miss much of the speech and language around them. So this results in delayed speech, language development, social problems and academic difficulties.
That's really important, that last one that you just mentioned, which is, you know, it just doesn't affect hearing, it affects education.
Lifelong outcomes.
Yes, exactly, and very important for Aboriginal children as well, because then we get to barriers of not learning language or speaking, you know, their traditional languages as well.
That's right. And you often find that children who are labelled as naughty or difficult, or their behaviours, you know, all over the place, that can often be related to undiagnosed or untreated hearing issues.
Oh, I have one of those. He's 23 now, but that's exactly what happened. He was labelled as ADHD and all this and that, and it was just a matter of getting grommets.
Wow. Yeah, what age did he get the grommets?
I can't remember. Did you notice? He was in primary school.
Yeah.
Did you notice the difference after he had the grommet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Makes a marked difference, yeah.
Definitely. And so did he. He then realised, the comparison that's why he was playing up in the corner and that nothing made sense. He couldn't hear properly.
It's the same as with older people. You know, when you've got older people who are starting to lose their hearing, they'll often withdraw because they can't hear this, you know, if there's a lot of noise around, they can't hear people speaking to them and that sort of thing. It's the same with the littlies. If you can't hear, you just sort of do your own thing.
Yeah.
Go and play in a corner or play up because you're bored.
Yeah. Okay. Now, how often should littlies have their ears checked?
Well, as part of our assessment, we are always doing ear health assessments with each check that we do. Whenever they come in and see us or we go out to see them, we look at their ears. If they're not seeing us and seeing mainstream services or their GP, hopefully they're having regular ear checks then as well.
So getting to it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, early detection's really important.
Is the one, Okay, so what can be done to prevent hearing loss apart from ear testing?
Okay, so a couple of things that we've put together is first the washing of your hands and your face every day. That's one thing. Eating healthy foods like your fruit, veggies, red meat. Provide children with their own bed, so not sharing beds is better for the kids.
Why? I'm going to chuck that one in there. Why?
Just if it is to help with that close contact. If someone's sick and got a cold, it can be...
And bacteria.
Yeah. Bacteria,
etc. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. If there's a smoker in the bed. There's also, you know, the cigarette smoke, secondhand cigarette smoke. Yeah.
We'd like to promote breastfeeding where possible for at least 6 months because that's good for the ears, the swallowing, and teach children how to blow their noses. That clears all their
the
ears
sinuses, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Mm.
Also, we try to make sure that the newborn babies have their free hearing test when they're newborn. So just to see if we can pick it up early if there's any problems.
It's usually provided in the hospital where the baby's born.
How do parents get to find out, where testing is?
Well, newborn testing is usually done in the hospital where the baby's born.
Okay.
Yeah, and the service usually goes into the hospital. Well, that's what used to happen. I don't know whether that's changed now. It's been a long time since I worked in a hospital.
So we've heard some great information on ear health. What else is important to child development, Terry and Sean?
Okay, I guess the regular health checks that we do are important to... just make sure that the child's developing normally. And if we find any problems, detecting them early is much better than waiting and, you know, till they're a long way down the track with any sort of developmental delay. Early intervention allows us to implement any treatment that the child needs early, which provides a much better outcome. Healthy diet and nutrition are essential for a baby's growth, their brain development, their physical development. Once again, it's the things like your fruit and veggies and meat and dairy, etc. Breastfeeding, if possible, is really important. That's great for the baby's growth, the development of their brain, and also something that maybe a lot of people may not be aware of is their mouth and jaw and the muscles that develop in their jaw and mouth. Breastfeeding sort of aids with that. And the breastfeeding also protects the baby from a lot of diseases like upper respiratory tract infections, stomach ailments, also helps with prevent ear disease, developing allergies, and reduces the risk of SIDS as well. And some studies have been done to suggest that it provides them against developing obesity, diabetes, high cholesterol and high blood pressure. So
there's a lot of benefits to be had from breastfeeding if possible. You're listening to Health Matters on 100.9 FM Noongar Radio, and in the studio with me, Big Girl, today I have Terry Cross and Sian Sorrell. We're going to go to a song, ladies, and come back and talk about toothy pigs with dental care. But in the meantime, here's Ilan with Listen. We hope that you're listening to this very vital information provided by the Health Department. And, of course, Health Matters is what you tuned into on Noongar Radio, me, Big Girl. And also I have Terry Cross and Sian Sorrell in the studio. And our topic for today is child development. Now, we've been talking about child development and we've incorporated e-health as well. And now we're not going to toothy pigs, as I said before, we're going to teeth. So what about dental care? I mean, can this have an impact on babies and toddlers? Who am I throwing this at to?
Terry! Yes, it's certainly, I guess the identification of dental diseases at an early age is really important, particularly widespread destruction of their baby teeth, because it's critical for maintaining their good mouth jaw alignment, their speech, that sort of thing. So if a child's got widespread what's called dental caries, particularly at a young age, like 18 months or whatever, maybe all the front teeth are worn down through going to bed with a bottle of milk or cordial or something like that, and that can sort of have quite devastating impact on that child in regards to how they speak, how they eat. If you need to get it treated, it's very expensive. So prevention of dental caries is really important. So part of what we do is do regular dental checks on the babies when we do our assessments, and it's called Lift the Lip. So we do sort of oral health inspections at 8 months, 18 months and 3 years as part of the general health assessment that we do on the children. And we give parents health education resources and that sort of thing, and encourage the parents to check the baby's teeth at home fairly regularly. And I guess some of the key points are to remember with dental health is that the baby teeth are important. Preventing tooth decay is easier and less costly than treating it. And the earlier that decay can be detected, it's a better outcome for the child. They don't have to undergo any painful procedures or anything like that if you can get the treatment done early. And it's important to conduct Lift the Lip regularly at home, at least once a month. In the home, you know, so parents can have a good look at the teeth. Make sure there's no brown spots, black spots, anything like that on the teeth. And if they see that, go in and get some treatment, because often it might just be as simple as putting some, like a drop of fluoride or something like that on there.
So how often should parents lift the lip and have a good look around there? Because you normally only see kids' teeth from a front view when they're smiling. Yeah,
at least once a month. So, if you're having a play with them and they're rolling around on the floor laughing, that's an ideal time to try and have a bit of a look in there and see what's going on. It's just opportunistic, I suppose. And, brushing from an early age as well.
How often should a child brush their teeth a day?
Probably at least twice a day.
And when would that be?
Morning and night. I mean, if you can, brush them at lunchtime as well after they've had food. And particularly, but before they go to bed at night is important.
Terry, tell me about children when they're drinking juice. Is this a myth or not? This is from me.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told when children are drinking juice, they should have a straw, drink from a straw, because mm-hmm. the gums will absorb the fructose or the sugar within the drink.
Thanks. Yeah, if they're using a straw, I suppose it's not hitting the teeth directly. But I guess the thing to remember is fruit juice should only be used as a treat once in a while, and it should be watered down, because the acids and sugars in the fruit juice can cause dental decay. So the best drink to give a child is water.
Okay.
A lot of parents have been doing that. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it is, because I mean there's a lot of kids that obviously do like water, and then there's a lot of kids that don't. Speaking, from a parent's point of view, there's a lot of habits, that we need to break that cycle down.
Yeah. And I guess if you have got a child that's used to having fruit juices and sweet drinks and stuff like that, you're not going to be able to go cold turkey, because the child won't stand for it, but gradually water it down till they're just having water alone.
Sean, just going on from that, what are some good tips to the parents that are listening in changing a child's diet from a bad one to a good one. Because,
yeah, we just touched on that. Yeah. And yeah, it is really hard. You know, if you've got a child that is quite often having takeaway foods and junk food, and then to put some colourful vegetables in front of them.
Yeah. Just try it. We've got some educational pamphlets that we give out to families with the foods that they can try with their kids. Ones that are high in iron, low in sugar. Just trying them with different things, trying to maybe hide the veggies in, you know, in your mashed potatoes and stuff. But yeah, stopping the Coke in the bottles. That's
oh my goodness!
One.
Yeah, cool drinks, huge. Yeah,
yeah. And kids ask for Coke or ask for cool drink in their bottles.
Yeah,
and chocolate milks.
Yeah,
the flavoured milks is another big one.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I guess the best bet is not to start them in the first place.
Yeah.
And if you do, just want, as a treat, very once in a while.
Yeah.
And I have heard where, you know, if you're trying to introduce a new food to a child, you've got to offer it to them. Oh, I can't remember the exact amount of times, but you've got to be persistent. And, you know, I think it was something like 10 times before they might take a bite.
Yeah.
Mm.
Wow, that's great information, because I know it is a struggle.
It is.
Getting kids to change their behaviour when it comes to, you know, being healthy. And I guess when kids are doing it in a group all at the same time, no different than us mums joining, clubs together and losing a bit of weight and getting fit.
You will find, you know, when they... Often if a child's going to daycare or a playgroup or something like that, when they see all their peers eating fruit, trying fruit, doing that sort of thing, or in daycare if they all the kids are going down to sleep, often if you've got a child who you struggle with getting to sleep, they'll often just copy what their peers are doing. It's... I saw that phenomenon with one of my sons. But I guess with the fruit and veggies and the diet, is persistence is the main thing.
Mm. Anything else you'd like to talk about in terms of teeth?
No, just one of the things that we've had some people do some study on, and they've I can't remember who it was, but they're promoting on their first birthday to try and get your children in for a dental checkup. So, like, that's a reminder, first birthday before, or just a little bit before, or just after, that's a good time to start dental checkups.
That early?
And certainly by the time they're two, hopefully they would have seen a dentist or at least come and seen us for a dental check of some sort. Yeah, not that we do a full on dental check. It's just, you know, what we can see with a torch in our eyes.
Okay. We're going to talk about ears coming up next, but we're going to go to Will Kepper with Listen Up on Health Matters here at Noongar Radio.
Do you wanna be in it in a brand new day? Brand new day. Listen to all those happy people smiling, singing songs, breathing life into me, and my spirit feels free. Oh, what a dawn! Brand new day. Put your hand in mine. Walk with me into a brand new day. day.
Kepper there. I'm Big Girl and joined with Terry and Sean here and talking about child development. Now we've covered ears, toothy pegs. Now Terry, you want to talk about, before we get into eyes, you want to talk about sleeping.
Yeah.
Safe sleeping.
Safe sleeping, and I guess safety in general, because, I mean, it's a really important message to get across, because safe sleeping is really important because it helps reduce the risk of sudden infant death, and, I mean, I can't imagine how devastating something like that would be to someone.
Mm.
So the recommendations from the SIDS Council are that you sleep your baby on their back from birth, not on their tummy or their side, that they sleep with their head and face uncovered, and particularly with winter coming up, it's important not to put beanies and bonnets and that sort of thing on your baby when you put them to bed. Make sure you keep them in a smoke-free environment before and after birth, so not smoking in the house, not smoking in the car. If anyone comes who is a smoker and you don't want them smoking around your baby, just ask them that, you know, to smoke outside.
Another one, Terry, is even if you nurse a baby and you have been smoking, it still stays in your clothing.
It does, yeah. So it's important if you are a smoker and you do want to have a cuddle of someone's baby, so you have some sort of a overshirt or something that you put on over your clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure you provide a sort of a safe sleeping environment for them night and day, and that the baby has their own safe sleeping place, like a cot or bassinet, and that they're in the same room as an adult if you want your baby close by you, and if possible, breastfeed your baby, because that gives you added protection as well. So I guess that covers like the safe sleeping, but it's also important in terms of safety in general, when your baby's getting mobile, to make sure that you've, I guess, baby-proofed your house and your environment. Make sure that things are up out of reach, you know, like cigarette butts, ashtrays, batteries, sharp objects, alcohol, hot water, tea, that sort of thing. Better not to use a tablecloth, because often kids will try and pull themselves up on the tablecloth and bring everything down on top of them. If you've got TVs and bookcases, try and make sure that they're anchored to the wall, so that they're not going to pull those over on top of themselves. And in the car, make sure you put them in an appropriate car seat for their age. And there's just a couple of quotes from the KidSafe site that I just wanted to read out. And one says, more children die of injury than die of cancer, asthma, and infectious diseases combined. Each year, about 250 Australian children aged 0 to 14 are killed and 58,000 hospitalised by unintentional injuries, the kind that often are referred to as accidents, and many of these accidents can be prevented. So, I mean, I think they're quite startling figures myself.
Mm.
So I guess as your child gets older, grows, gets more mobile, be aware of, you know, what could be a hazard for them.
And sometimes it's not always the obvious.
No.
Obvious, so.
Wow. No. I mean, what I tell some mums to do is actually, you know, in the living area or wherever the child's going to spend a lot of their time, is get down on your hands and knees and have a look around and see what it is they can see from their perspective, because there might be things that we as adults don't see, but if you get down on your hands and knees, it might be look very attractive to a young child.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Cords, things like that, you know, electric cords. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, not a good feeling if your child does have an accident.
No,
and I would imagine some parents would go through a period of blaming themselves.
Oh, so yes, yeah.
With everything that involves health. Prevention.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Now, Sian, you've got some information for new mums.
New mums, okay. So we've some messages that we'd like to give new mums is just to take the time to take care of yourself. Make sure you eat and drink plenty of water. That's one. Have a rest when your baby sleeps. So when your baby sleeps, try to sit back, and even if you don't have a sleep, just put your feet up. Breastfeed if possible, because this helps build the bond with your baby. Ask for help from your family and friends if you need it. And if you're not feeling well or your mood feel low, see your doctor, child health nurse, or a health professional. We've got a couple of phone numbers which may be helpful. One is the Health Direct Australia, and you can call them. It's a free call number, 1-800-022-222. And then Beyond Blue on 1-300-22-4636.
That's really important. Thanks for those phone numbers, because if people aren't aware, babies do feed off the emotions of mum or dad. In fact, they know that when
something
is not going good.
If mum's tense, often you'll find the baby's tense and unsettled. Yes,
yeah.
We should also mention that all the information that Terry and Sian are bringing to us today is available online at healthywa.wa.gov.au, and the program you're listening to is Health Matters, which will replay this Sunday at 9 p.m. and can be heard on Noongar Radio every fortnight, Wednesday, 11 o'clock. Now, we're going to talk about eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Got eyes on you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I suppose with eyes and vision, often children who have vision loss might have normal looking eyes, so you might have no idea that there's any problem happening there. Often the first thing that will maybe alert you to the fact that there may be something wrong with a child's vision is their behaviour and how they use their eyes. If we look at babies, most babies start to focus on faces and objects around 4 to 5 weeks, and by about 6 to 8 weeks, most babies will start smiling at you and familiar faces and things that they see. But if the baby's got a vision impairment, you might see that they are not doing these sort of behaviours. So often in a young child, rather than do a vision test as such, we're looking at the vision, what we call the vision behaviours.
I've seen a child like that, and how it looked was the child couldn't focus on anything.
Mm.
But will just look everywhere or just glance, and you could wave your hands in front of that child and wasn't picking up on anything.
If there's no blink reflex or something like that, that can be an indication that there's a vision problem. So they're just sort of. You also got to be aware that babies develop at different rates. So, you know, I'm saying 4 to 5 weeks to focus on a face. It might
be a bit, they might be a bit older before they start to do that, so you've got to give them time to sort of develop these behaviours as well. But if, you know, they're getting to, say, 3 months and you're not seeing anything like this happening, that's a time that you think, well, I've got to get something, you know, get it looked into.
So where do they go and doctor?
They can, I mean, if they come and see us, we can do a bit of an assessment, and then they would be referred off to their GP for a further assessment, yes. But, I mean, other signs that a baby might be having trouble with their vision are that their eyes move really quickly from side to side. It's called nystagmus. A bit of a mouthful. And, or their eyes may be just sort of jerky movements, wandering about aimlessly, not looking at or focusing on anything. If their eyes are not following your face or an object, or they're not making eye contact with mum and dad, families, friends, that sort of thing can be a red flag. If a child doesn't react to a bright light being turned on in the room, you know, as in blinking or whatever, that's also another sign. And if their pupils seem white or cloudy rather than black, that needs to be looked into. And if their eyes don't line up and look, or they look towards their, both eyes look towards their nose or look outward, that's also a concern. In an older child, you might find the sort of behaviours you might see in an older child is that they hold things up close to their face to look at. They might be rubbing their eyes a lot or complaining that their eyes are tired. They might tilt their head or cover their eyes with one hand when they're looking at things, because they're using the eye that is the that they can see the best out of. If they can see better during the day than at night, that's also an indicator. And if they've got misaligned eyes, which is a squint where the eyes are, you know, not lining up properly, that's a sign that we need to get it looked into further.
What about the good old conjunctivitis?
The conjunctivitis, yeah.
Quite common in children. How do they get it, do you know?
Oh, it passed from one person to another. It's very, very infective, very sore, very itchy. And you need to get, I think it's called Clawsy. Don't quote me on that, but that's the, you can get that as in drops to treat that. And I think you can get them over the counter at the chemist now. You used to have to get a prescription. But yeah, if they've got conjunctivitis, they need to get treatment for it, because it is very nasty and uncomfortable, and you feel like you've got sand in your eyes. Horrible.
Have we covered eye health, you reckon? What do you reckon, Sean?
Yeah, I think that's
covered it all for us.
It's more around looking at the vision behaviours when we're doing an assessment on a child for their vision. As they get older, you know, 3.5, 4, there is a test that we or a procedure that we can do to test their vision, but you can't do that in the younger children.
Mm. When should the first eye test happen?
We can do an eye test or an eye check on them around 3, 3.5, where we get them to match objects at distance and that sort of thing. But like I say, in children under 3, we're usually just looking at their vision behaviours, and if anything doesn't look right with that, and I mean, we're also looking at the eyes to see, you know, if they're in alignment and that sort of thing. It's the same with the ears. Before we do an ear check, we look at the outside of the ears to make sure everything looks normal.
Mm. We're going to go to a song, Heartbeat, Dardy Dardy. We're going to hear from some little kids, and then we'll come back and do a bit of a wrap up and give you just a summary of all the deadly information that you've heard from both Sean and Terry today on Health Matters, Noongar Radio.
Health Matters, a show where we discuss all health issues affecting Aboriginal people. Tune in Wednesday, 11 a.m. and repeating after the Inside Out show. Get your fortnightly house call from 100.9 FM Noongar Radio.
Coolingers and of course Heartbeat there with Darty Darty. If you don't know what Darty Darty means, it's not old school, it's new school for, yeah, awesome, pretty good. And we hope you've enjoyed listening to Health Matters for this fortnight. Don't forget, the program's on Wednesday, 11 o'clock, and repeats after Inside Out on Sundays, 9 p.m. It's been great to have you in the studio here, both Terry Cross and Sian Sorrell, talking about child development. I guess the last thing I want to ask you ladies is, you know, if there was one or a few clear messages, you know, for our listeners to take away today from the information that you've provided, what would it be? I'm going to go for you, Sian.
I think one clear message is to keep up with your immunisations and your health checks, if you can. And also just to be active, to get the kids to go outside and play a little bit instead of being inside all the time in front of the TV. That's what I would suggest.
Yep, so I would second that. It's really important to spend time engaging with your kids. Make sure the TV's turned off for part of the day at least. And play and read to your children as much as you can, because that's really valuable time spent.
Definitely.
A lot of people sometimes think it's a bit of a waste of time doing those sorts of things with young babies. It's not. It's really, really important. Yeah.
True.
And the best toy that a child can have is their parent.
Oh, that's a good one. I was going to say, you know, with kids watching TV, because, look, I'm sure we all do at times, you know, put the kid in front of the TV, especially as a little bub, while we go and get their food ready and stuff like that.
That's right.
But watching too much TV, is it going to affect a child, not just in social development, but also, you know, is it going to wreck their eyes? Because, you know, the old myth,
yes,
their eyes will go square.
Yeah, look, you don't want them up too close to the TV. In fact, I mean, I think there's information out there that suggests that children under two shouldn't watch any TV. I can't tell you where that quote's come from, I don't know, but I know I've read that somewhere, that children under two shouldn't watch any TV. Because you will find that they just get entranced with the television and they just stare at it, and you try and talk to them and they won't engage with you because they're too busy watching the television. So very important to have the TV off so you can that they get used to paying attention to you, and that pays dividends when they go to school because they'll then sort of pay attention to their teacher, etc.
Sean, how do people access services?
Okay, first one is we usually get a referral from mainstream child health centres referring an Aboriginal family. Then we do a follow-up. Also, you can do a self-referral, so if you want to be linked up with our health team, you can self-refer yourself, and you can call in to our Belmont, that's our admin office, and that is on 6272 9700, and we're at 240 Hardy Road in Belmont. That's our admin base. So that's...
There you go. Can we have that number again?
6272 9700.
Fantastic. And listeners, don't forget that the information that's brought to you today by the Health Department is also available online, healthywa.wa.gov.au. I got away from the smaller ones, Terry, to announce. And is there anything else that you think would be a great message to leave?
I think with if parents are looking for information specifically regarding Aboriginal children, we have what's called a resource matrix, which can be found at the CATCH website. They go to the Child and Adolescent Health Service website, look under CATCH Resources, and then go to the Aboriginal Child Health Resource Matrix, and there's really good resources and information on that site.
What about you, Sian? Any last... you've said it all?
Yeah, I think I've covered it all.
Actually, one last plug I would like to put in. If anyone is interested in being on the CATCH Parent Family Network to give feedback about the CATCH service, they can have a look on the CATCH website and they will find that information there, and it'd be really good if we can have some Aboriginal representation on that network.
Awesome information on child development on our fortnightly program here. It's called Health Matters, Wednesday 11 o'clock and repeated on Sunday after Inside Out.